So we got some testimonies from some of the team. And we're going to start with Elliot. Come on. Yes.
Hello, everyone. So today I'm just going to be giving a sort of short sort of summary of the trip of Brazil and what stood out to me. So at the start of the trip, we went to Campina Grande, where we were greeted with lots of fresh food, so breads and cheese and juices. It was amazing. And then we went there and we visited a big church in the city, where we were able to see the people. And this church had been through a lot of hardship, and people's trust had sort of been damaged, and it had to be built up all over again with the people hosting the church and one of the ladies who was now 81 and still actively participating. And it was just great to see how they're all thriving now, and all the joy of all the people, and how it's always bustling with people, and they're just so happy to be there with God. And after this, we went to Ibiara, where we stayed with a lovely family for 9 days. And it was great getting to know all the people, and we felt so welcomed. We were always well fed. And throughout our stay, we went to people's homes. We delivered food parcels and stopped and talked with them. We sort of asked if they had any questions, and we asked questions. And it was just amazing to see how grateful they were for the little they had, and how I think having so little brought them closer to God in a way, because they needed him. And we also, it's just amazing to connect with the kids, since we did kids work there, and they were just so happy to see us. Just our presence, just being there alone, was enough to make them smile, which is really nice. And one thing that struck me was their prayer requests. So here I think a lot of people ask for things they might want or things that might help them, but there they will ask for things they need, so health or injuries or things that they're struggling with, or alcoholics in the family, just things they really need and that they're really desperate for. And they were just so grateful for prayer. So it was just really great staying there. And then after that, we left and visited the nature reserve, where we just sort of relaxed a bit. We saw loads of wildlife, lots of frogs, especially in the showers. Lots of ants too. And we just enjoyed a church service there. I think we did a sketch there as well. And then, yeah. And just lots of people, lots of lively, just everyone happy to see us. Everyone's always hugging each other. It's just a really nice atmosphere. And then once we left there, we went to the last couple of days at João Pessoa, where we took part in a service, and we were just greeted really kindly by the people. We had a great time there. We stayed in the church. It was really nice air conditioning. And then we went to the beach, and we went shopping just to relax on the last couple of days, where some people got very burnt. I don't know, it might be Ben Adair was a little red. So overall, the trip was a really moving experience that I think strengthened my faith and made me realise just how privileged I am to live in the UK after seeing it in person. And it was just great seeing our impact that the visit had on the children, and how excited they were to see us. And once I've enjoyed the comfort of the UK for a bit longer, I'd love to go back.
What he forgot to mention about the nature reserve meeting was, do you remember what your special role was there in the meeting? He was my mic stand. They don't have a mic stand there, so he had to stand there for 2 songs, was it? It probably felt like 8, but he did a great job. Very good mic stand, so if they all get broken here, we have someone ready to stand in. He did, yeah. Dan then helped support his arm. It was a very good team activity, that. Right, Riley, come on.
I just want to start off, I'm winging it, because I didn't actually prepare anything. Apologies, I should have, but I forgot. And I had quite a busy, like, past 2 days. So Elliot, like, summed it up perfectly. We went to Campina Grande at the start, where we were welcomed. We stayed there for 2 days, and we went to, on the first Sunday that we were there, we went to the church in Campina Grande, and it was somewhat different to what it is like here. It was, I mean, like, I don't know how to explain it. Apologies. Then once we left Campina Grande, we went into Ibiara, to where we spent most of the time doing mission work further out. And how everyone was brought together in troubles and whatnot, like the houses out where we were trying to do the work, they were way different to what it's like here. The supports in the houses were made out of wood and clay, and it was like some of the roofs had, you know, like in your roof, you've got like where the tiles connect, right? That wasn't filled in. There was a straight gap. And sometimes in the rain, it would be hard because obviously the rain would be coming through the roof and you couldn't really do anything about it. And the kids' work, it was awesome. Like, they were all getting involved. They were all invested. They all enjoyed it. It was, like, a bit of an odd job to run because some of them weren't really getting it, but it's still kind of, they still got, like, eventually understood it and did it. And then once we finished in Ibiara, like, and food parcels as well, like, that stuff, how, like, the different families were so happy to, like, get this stuff, and how it all still, like, they all came together to just, yeah. Then the nature reserve. Never again do I ever want to see a frog, right? Finished the service at the nature reserve, went to go to the bathroom. I had to do a double take, right? I looked at the door, turned around to talk to someone behind me, turned back around, generally jumped out of my skin. Didn't notice it the first time. It scared me, right? Never do I ever want to see a frog in my entire life. And then hands as well. Yeah, Grace got one in her hair, and it spent about like 2 minutes trying to get rid of it, right? And then the ants as well. Followed the trail the ants, and then eventually got into bushes and lost them. But like, it was still, the ants were everywhere. Then into John Pasil, which is where we ended. We were in the church for the 2 nights. The service went well, as all of them did. And it was, yeah, there was one thing I wanted to get from this trip was to become closer to God, and I feel like I did in some way. And like, I think everyone on the trip has grown a lot closer as a team, and like as friends. And it was quite eye-opening to see, because it's a way different to what life is here.
I ought to point out that I think all of the team led at least one morning devotional for the rest of the team, and they all did absolutely amazing. They were so, so good. Jake.
Hello. Most of you should know me. If you don't, or if you didn't hear Ben, I'm Jake. So I'm going to talk about Brazil, but I haven't got long, so I'm only going to talk about one specific part, which was the rural areas that we visited and we went to. It's not hard for you lot to imagine how bad it would be. I mean, you can just look it up on Google. The areas are horrible. All you have to do is walk down there and you can gauge the living conditions. But what you can't gauge is what the people go through during their lives. And the worst case that I think I saw, I'm not sure about the rest of the team, but what I saw was when we went to visit a single mum of 7 kids whose husband had died 3 months prior to our arrival from an alcohol overdose, living in a 2-roomed clay house. Doesn't get much worse than that. There were other examples that were bad, but not quite as bad as that. They're living on the edge. But despite all of that, do you know what's so amazing about being there? Is that they still get by. they still live out their lives. You know, when we talk to them, some of them still smile. And that's for probably two reasons. The first is obviously because they probably haven't known any different. They don't know what it's like to live like how we do. The second one's more deep, and you wouldn't know unless you were there. It's the community vibes. It's the fact that they're all living together. They all know each other, and they're all helping each other out. And I want to link it back to church. I'm going to start preaching now in a way. This is our community in here. You know, we should hopefully know most people in this room. We should all know each other, and we should absolutely all help each other out. So I've got a little bit of a challenge for you guys. If there's someone in here that you don't know, at the end of today, go and introduce yourself. Go chat to them. You might find that there's a person in need. There's a person who needs help. And if you're a person who needs help, don't be anxious. Be confident and go and ask for it. And if you do, and you're an amazing person, you know everyone in this church, go and speak to someone that you haven't spoken to in a while. Cool? Right. That's all.
Well, that told us, didn't it? Fabulous. Thank you, guys. There was one other member of the team that whenever I introduced him, I had to say he was the most amazing, wonderful member of the team.
Boa tarde. Sorry, I'm used to doing this in Portuguese. I think the boys summed it up pretty well. The main takeaways is just how different life is in Brazil, how much of a sense of community can bring people together and bring them, despite the pain and the suffering, into a more, I guess, happy state of life. And I think that we as a team shared in that, because again, they were so welcoming. They would always bring you into their homes. Even if they hadn't got much, they would still offer you a hot drink, a coffee, or even just some food, even like cake and bread. The amount of cake and bread we had to turn down. And also that frogs suck. I think those are the three main lessons that we should all take away from this trip. But most importantly, I should be serious, is that all of the support and all of the help that you all gave us was absolutely phenomenal. And over the past year or so, we've been planning this trip and raising money. And we wouldn't have been able to go if it wasn't for everyone else who was helping us, everyone in here who helped us and supported when we, you know, prayed together as a church just before we left, and the financial aid and everything like that as well. So we really do thank you all for everything that you've done for us. And I can say that watching these young people from, let's say, a leader's perspective, I'm not going to say an adult perspective because I'm not there yet, it's clear to see that they have really grown and developed, not only in their faith, but as individuals. And just to know that they've taken these very key lessons about community, about helping each other, and about closeness. It's good to see that it has stuck with them. I think Jake's story about the family was one of the most hard-hitting ones. I wasn't there when they did that visit, but in the service, there was a little boy who followed us, who smelled a bit like urine. He smelled a lot like urine, actually. And he kept following us the whole time, and I asked the church leader over there if he was aware of this boy and if there was anything that they'd done to help him. And he informed me that that was the family that they'd gone and visited and gave them the food parcels to. And I asked if there was anything else to do, and I was just met with, there's nothing more we can do. This is actually quite normal around here. And it was a shock to me, even though I'd lived there, because it's been so long I'd forgotten. It's just commonplace. So we've had some talks. I think, you know, I've made a personal decision to try to send over some sort of aid to the people over there in the needy communities as much as I can. And again, it's not an encouragement for you to do the same, but if you feel called to, I think that the people there, their lives could be completely transformed with just £5. But yeah, it was an amazing experience. It was a great time with the leaders and with the boys when they behaved. And Grace was great as well. But it was lovely. Thank you all so much for all you did for us.
Did they ever sleep? Hopefully we got a film to watch, just a short film, just showing a very quick blast through what we were up to. Okay, it's time for a sketch. Ooh.
All right, hello everyone. Hope you enjoyed our little sketch there. Any guesses what it might be there to represent? Sin, exactly. It says do not touch, shouldn't touch sin. So, our first character, who is Jake, is here to represent temptation. It looks good, but it really is not. Hands up here, who's been tempted before? Yeah, pretty much everyone. It happens to the best of us. So a verse I will read is James 1, verses 14 to 15. But we are tempted when we are drawn away and trapped by our evil desires. Then our evil desires conceive and give birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Basically, it might seem small at first, this tempting thing, but it can grow to something much larger and much, much worse very quickly. And now we come to our second person, who is Dan. He is here to represent people who get drawn into sin and temptation by other people. It's very easy to drag someone down that route. As Matthew 18, verse 6 references, I won't read it, it's a bit dark, but basically, it's no better, if you're dragging someone into it. Then we come to our third character, the judgmental one. That's me, I'm usually the judgmental person, so. So we shouldn't judge other people for their sins, because then, well, we're no better than them. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all human. We all sin. We can't help it. So Romans 14, verse 13 says, so then let us not judge one another. Instead, you should decide never to do anything that would make others stumble or fall into sin. Basically, if Dan and Jake touch the chair when they shouldn't have done, and I come along and think, oh, what a bunch of Muppets. What are they doing that for? Well, that's not really any better, is it? So, a bit of a recap. Our first one, we had temptation. Second, being drawn in. And finally, judgmental. Also, actually, I forgot, Matthew 7, verse 1. Do not judge others so that God will not judge you. Then we come to our fourth person, represented by Ben. Being set free from sin. Only Jesus can truly set us free from sin. As John 8, verse 36 says, if the Son sets you free, then you really will be free. And Galatians 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So, how can we avoid sin? Well, the harsh reality is we can't. Our track record for that has been pretty poor, as history shows. But we can try and resist temptation. It's important to be able to look out for these things and be able to identify them before they happen. Psalm 19, verse 11 says, I keep my law in my heart, so I will not sin against you. If you follow Jesus, worship, read the Bible, pray, then you can be set free from any sin, temptation, and stuff that you do that's seen as wrong. And finally, Matthew 26, verse 41, keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Again, similar things that Psalm 119 says. So it's important just to look out for these kind of things. Help other people that fall in. Don't judge people for doing their wrongdoings, because you will also do wrongdoings. And if you do, just ask for forgiveness. God's a very forgiving God, and if we can follow Jesus, then we will truly be set free from sin. Thank you for listening.
So that's a bit of a taste of what we've been up to. We haven't got any food parcels to give out, but there is cake next door. But hopefully you've been encouraged. As Josiah said a bit earlier, we are very grateful to everyone here who's been praying for us, who helped us during this year in fundraising. And, you know, we went out on behalf of the whole church, not just for ourselves, but for the whole church, for Hub. And we took a lot of blessing with us from here. And we've received so many messages of thanks from the people in that part of Brazil, just saying how grateful they are that we went there. There's not enough time to obviously tell everything, but there are so many stories of people whose lives were touched, of church leaders who were so encouraged by us being there. And so it's thank you to the Hub for all that support that you gave us. I think it'd be just great if we could pray. I'd like to call the team up to the front here. Can we all stand? So we'd like to pray for you, if that's all right. Yes, not because we're better. Definitely not better. Having spent 2 weeks tightly packed together, we discovered that we're definitely not better than anyone else. But because we've had an amazing experience with God in mission, and we'd love that to spill out into Hub as well. So we'll pray. Father, we thank you for the testimonies from our young people. And we, Lord, we know that this is only just a tiny little part of what you've done through this team in Brazil. We thank you, Lord, that they've all come back buzzing, really alive with that vision, with what they've experienced, Lord, what they've seen you doing in Brazil, and seeing how easy it is actually to just bless other people. So, Lord, we pray that as a church, that all of us as a church, we would get that vision too, that you'd fire us all up with that desire to be salt and light in this community, to take your blessing, Lord, whether it be just giving a physical donation, whether it be just spending time with someone, whether it be praying with someone, whether it be just speaking to people that don't know you, Lord, we pray that you'd help us all to have that missionary spirit, Lord God, that we'd see ourselves as a mission team, that it's not just 2 weeks in Brazil or in India, but it's actually a lifestyle here in Basingstoke as well. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for this team. Thank you for our church, Lord. Thank you that Hub did an amazing mission in Brazil, and thank you that the fruits of that mission will go on and on for a long, long time. Father, would you please bless the next part of our service, eating cake together and playing games. Would you please bless the young adults as they meet later today as well. And we pray for your blessing this week on every family represented here, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, hang on.
Sorry, all. Just before we finish, I just wanted to say a massive thank you to all of the leaders, all of the effort that all of the team members put in, but specifically for everything that Rhoda did for us in planning and while we were out there and being an amazing youth pastor. I've received a few messages from people in Brazil saying about how great of a youth pastor she is and how she really embodies the spirit of Christianity. And they all loved it. And everyone who she interacted with was truly blessed.
Yes.
So yeah, thank you, Rhoda.
Yeah. And she's now called Pastora Rhoda. That's her title, and that's what she's got to be called by now. It's Pastora Rhoda. Okay. Lovely. Let's have some cake.